Indeed. Let's bring in Mr. Azadegan, who's joining us from California. Mr. Azadegan, give us your thoughts and your perspective of the significance that we're seeing in the Iraqi city of Karbala right now.
Well, I fully concur with what my colleague just stated. What happened at Ashura, with Ashura at Karbala some 1,400 years ago, still and even has more of a significance in the geo-spiritual and geopolitical realm. Make no mistake, when I use the word geopolitical, I am referring to the etymology of the word politics. For those of you who are aware, the word politics comes from the Greek word politikos, and it literally means of, for, or relating to people or citizens. It has significance today, and as long as there is injustice in the world, our Muslim viewers know the injustice will end, well, Imam Mahdi will come. Our Christian viewers know injustice will end when Jesus Christ will come. Our Jewish friends believe injustice will end when Mashiach comes. So as long as there's injustice in the world, this story has resonance with the masses of the world that are living under tyranny and injustice. And what, I don't want to say what better place, but what worse place right now than Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Bahrain, wherever there is injustice and oppression against the minority, this movement will be alive and well in the hearts of men and women. This was an ethical movement, a moral movement, a spiritual movement, a political movement, but definitely not just a political maneuver, as some persistently and willfully still misunderstand. So, here in the States, if people knew more about Imam Hussein and what happened at Karbala, even Americans would very much agree with the fact that this was an act of freedom and anti-oppression against, especially against, you know, hegemonic and arrogant powers, which we see today run amok. It's unbelievable how much of this we see today, especially in the region where you're at, in Middle East. So, you know, this is more relevant than ever. If we truly want to achieve a sustainable global peace and security, we must implement justice. But before we implement justice, we have to go through this, I call it the three processes of truth, justice, and peace. Before we can implement justice, which will be political justice, economic justice, social justice, we must come to an understanding of truth and be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. That was the message of Imam Hussein. Haq versus batil. Truth versus counterfeit. So, you know, I can't see this event being more relevant today than ever, even though this happened 1,400 years ago. And the people of the world, especially those who live under oppression and tyranny, especially the tyranny of Washington and London, if I could just point out these two centers of so-called power, they can totally relate to this. And it's our responsibility as academics, as scholars, as Muslims, as believers, to distinguish between the right Islam and the counterfeit Islam. This was the exact message of Imam Hussein 1,400 years ago. Yazid, Shemr, Muawiyah, all these people were representing a very perverted version of Islam. And we see that same struggle continue today. I hesitate to use the word jihad because in the West, the word jihad has been so misunderstood, so abused, so misused. But the word jihad literally means struggle or resistance. So the true Muslims of the world today, their jihad, their struggle, their resistance couldn't be any more relevant and any more similar to what Imam Hussein went through 1,400 years ago.
All right. Back to our guest in the studio, Mr. Mazlumi. Mr. Azadegan, he touched up on a very important point, and that was the relevance of the Battle of Karbala. He did mention that Imam Hussein will always be relevant as he will always represent a stand against injustice.
Yeah. I think we can add something to this when we refer to our narrations. You know, today we have a specific supplication for today, for Arbaeen. And there we talk about the aim of Imam Hussein. And there we say, بَذَلَ مُحْجَتَهُ لِيَسْتَنْغِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجَهَالَةِ. Imam Hussein sacrificed himself. Why? What was the aim? And in this supplication we say, because he wants to rescue the people from the ignorance. It is interesting. The Imam Hussein tried for justice and tried to give the people guidance, the light of guidance conveyed to the people by Imam Hussein. And it is what we need today. Because when you talk about the justice, you are talking about the justice as a good aim. Every person say we believe, we like, we love, we accept it as a value. But when we go to the action, it happens. There are many oppressions happen in Western countries and they call it is democracy, it is justice. Why? Because they try to keep the people ignorant. We need to know. If we know what is the justice, what is the right, what is the truth, so we can try to fulfill it. And here we need to make a bridge from the justice to the knowledge. And the knowledge is one aim of Imam Hussein. And here Imam Hussein said that I give my blood because I want to keep the people and convey the people to the guidance, to the knowledge. And it is interesting, the word which is used here is to rescue the people, because the people here are in darkness of ignorance, and Imam Hussein rescued them and take them from the ignorance to the knowledge. So here we need to talk about Imam Hussein as a, not just as a religious leader. I want to shed some light in this part and this aspect of his movement. It is not just a religious something which happened 1,000 years ago. Because if you suppose Karbala as some part of history, it will be finished. Every movement in the history will finish. And here we can say, but the movement of Karbala will stay. It will be living movement to the last day of the world. Why? Because it was the struggle between the truth and untruth. Because it was the struggle for the justice. It was the struggle to reach the knowledge. And knowledge is something in common among all people. And here we can find that this knowledge, unfortunately, today is missing in the world. Many people come to you and say, we are the representative of Islam. They offer different forms of Islam. They offer different picture of Islam. And you look at them, you cannot decide, because if you don't know what is the reality. And it is what? We can see in the letters of our leader, in these two letters which he sent to the youth of Western countries, he said, I don't want to give you one specific picture, but try to go and find the real Islam from the fake Islams. Because here I think clearly, it is clearly, every person can understand it, that some fake picture of Islam nowadays is conveyed to the people through mass media. They try to say Islam means ISIL. Islam means Daesh. Islam means Al-Qaeda. Why? Because Islam is the fastest spread religion among the people. People are coming to Islam. Why? Because Islam is talking to the people in their own language. This language is the language of your soul, your need. So Islam has a message. People need this message. And people will convert it to Islam. And it is fastest spreading religion among the people. So some Western countries, some unbelievers try to find a solution for this problem for them, and they try to offer a fake picture of Islam. And Imam Hussein tried his best, as it is mentioned in Mr. Azadegan's speech as well. Imam Hussein tried his best to give the people a right, correct picture of Islam. When you refer to Muawiyah or Yazid, he says that I am a Muslim, I say my prayer, I go to pilgrimage, so I am a Muslim. This is a picture of Islam. And Imam Hussein is another picture of Islam. When you compare these two pictures, you will find what is the truth and what will take you to the real meaning of religion, and I mean the real meaning of Islam as well.
Mr. Azadegan, Mr. Mazlumi stated that the Battle of Karbala and the stand of Imam Hussein transcends time and space, as it was a battle to uphold the truth, and it was a stand against injustice. What message do you think can be derived from Imam Hussein's stand in Karbala for modern day societies?
Well, you know, the Middle East region, except for Iran, thank God, is in flame. So the people don't even, as my colleague, Dr. Mazlumi, pointed out so well, they don't even need to look back into history or the historicity of this event. All they have to do is take a look around the region and see how, you know, injustice, oppression, hegemony, arrogance, you know, it seems at least, you know, to be taking over. So the message of 1400 years ago is very relevant today. We in the West are encouraging the people, are educating people as far as what that message was, believe it or not, exactly as what my beloved colleague in Tehran, Mr. Mazlumi, just pointed out. That, yes, we do live in the age of ignorance, jahl in Arabic. And so there's a lot of ignorance of what the real Islam is today, especially in the West, especially, well, West would be Europe and the United States, you know, as far as I'm concerned. You know, we see what happened in France. We see this counterfeit Islam being presented, and God knows what was behind that event. But they are trying to blame what happened at counterfeit Islam, but presenting that counterfeit as the real in order to disalienate and unattract the masses of the world to this great religion. In my opinion, in my scholarly opinion, as the three Abrahamic religion, one of the three Abrahamic religions and the final one, Islam, it's very relevant today, very relevant. Whereas some may argue that the political persuasive power of Judaism and Christianity has faded. It faded, just to be brief, you know, through two world wars that were caused by the Europeans, followed by the Holocaust. And before that, you know, we had imperialism, we had colonialism, we had all these terrible things committed. And the masses of the European masses more or less saw that, you know, as the Christian contribution, erroneously saw that as a Christian contribution. So the political persuasive power of Christianity and Judaism, many would argue, has faded. Where is it left? It's left in Islam, in vibrant, political, responsible Islam that is looking for truth and justice, not a bunch of savages running around in the deserts of Syria and Iraq and you know, misrepresenting the Islam themselves. And then you have the Western media completely misusing that and taking advantage of that and presenting the counterfeit as the real Islam in order to poison the minds of the peoples of the world. And we see this happening in the West, and many of us who are scholars, many of us who are believers, are very upset at this gross intentional misrepresentation. And it's our job to correct this. And it's so wonderful that Press TV is offering this forum, and scholarly forum, this spiritual forum, this religious forum, in order to talk about this, because what happened, what we are, you know, commemorating today at Arba'in, 40 days after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, this is a very cosmically live event, because there's still a lot of injustice in the world. As a matter of fact, it's increasing. You know, we are living in end times, some may argue, and so this, you know, has been foretold to even increase, you know, more. And that's what we're seeing today. So it's our job as scholars, as people in the media, as Press TV is doing so wonderfully today, to cover this not just from a historical point of view, but also from a scholarly, intellectual point of view, with a religious perspective, with a, you know, spiritual twist. And so the people of the world would wake up. In America, people seem to be or at least in the past 70 years or so, in a state of mass hypnosis, and they're waking up right now. Believe it or not, since 2001, the terrible events in New York, people of the world are waking up and trying to educate themselves as to what is really Islam, instead of what the mainstream Western corporate media is constantly spewing at them and constantly misrepresenting to them and distorting and falsifying what Islam is through the, you know, savage acts of ISIS, IL, or ISIS, or ISIL, or Al-Qaeda, or Al-Nusra, or whoever else in the world that is part of this diabolic agenda. They're doing this intentionally because, like I stated before, And my colleague, Mr. Mazlumi, stated before, Islam is a very vibrant political force in the world because it addresses some of the root causes of humanity's problems, which are injustice, ignorance, as Mr. Mazlumi brought to our attention, oppression, inequality, all these things that are unfortunately not being vibrantly expressed and articulated as the message of true Islam is articulating it today. So, you know, it is what we are doing today, what me and our colleague are doing today, it's one right move toward the right direction in waking the people of the world up, especially in the West. People seem to have, you know, a curtain over their eyes, and they're not realizing what is being done today. The wrong people are being blamed. Malcolm X said something very interesting. He said, if you follow, if you read the newspapers, you're going to end up blaming the wrong people and praising, blaming the right people and praising the wrong people. So, and the mainstream media has done a terrible job, if I should say, in representing Islam, and that's part of their agenda. This is not, an unplanned agenda. This is a manufactured agenda to misrepresent Islam through these ISIS savages, through these Al-Qaeda terrorists, Al-Nusra, whoever else. We can just go on and on with the list. This is part of a concerted effort. This is a conspiracy. And when I use the word conspiracy, I want to mention and point out to the fact that we're interested in conspiracy facts. We're not interested in conspiracy theories whatsoever. This is a conspiracy fact that we're seeing being done to Islam. But, you know, there is a God, and there is the vibrant heart of many truth-seeking people in the world, and together we are going to resurrect and polish the true image of Islam that has always been there throughout these 1400 years. It's always been there. It's just our job is tougher now because we have an extremely strong media apparatus against us in misrepresenting Islam, which is a liberation movement for the masses of the world.
Mr. Mazlumi, a lot of important points mentioned there by Mr. Azadegan, but it all coalesces into one point. Real Islam, authentic Islam, and fraudulent Islam, and pseudo-Islam, if I may say. Looking at the ceremonies and the processions taking place in not just in Karbala, we also had live images from across cities in Iran. On one hand, we have the Daesh Takfiri terrorists. Yeah. On the other hand, we have these pilgrims, these mourners that have braved such difficult situations, security threats, attempts against their lives, just so they could make it out to Karbala to pay respect to Imam Hussein. That show of passion, that's something that the Takfiris will never have.
I think you mentioned a very important and significant point. When we have two different pictures, which of them is real and which of them is fake, it is interesting, you can find it easily. Please refer to Karbala. When we go there, we find about more than 20 million people attend there. And it shows it is the biggest peaceful gathering of human beings in the world. There is not such a ceremony in any other religion, in any other place, in any other time. During the time, this is the biggest one. These 20 millions, more than 20 million gathered here to say one message for us, to convey one message to us. And this is, I think, the message of love. It is interesting that Ayatollah Khamenei, our great leader, said a few days ago, he said that the movement of Arbaeen showing two things, two points. The first, the belief. The second is love. And I think you can see, one of most beautiful pictures of love you can see in Karbala. Why? First, you see the people go to Karbala by walking. This march happened there. It is about 80 kilometers from Najaf to Karbala. Why people go there by walking? They can get benefit of car. They don't believe on riding, you know, they believe, but they think. They try to show their respect and their love. Let me have one example. When you want to show your love to your wife, you try your best. You endure some difficulty because you want to show that you love her. And it is what happened. And our love toward Imam Hussein is not something comparable with our love toward any other person. So we try to show, we go this way, we pave this path by some difficulty, by walking, to show. Although we have in our narrations that when you walk toward Imam Hussein, by each step that you have, you will get one benefit of good deed. It will be omitted one of your misdeeds, and you will get one raise in ranking, in spiritual ranking. But I think the people when go there, they don't look for even for the reward. People don't look for the getting free of punishment. No, they love Imam Hussein. They want to show their love. And it is interesting, not the people who go there show their love, the people who are there to serve the pilgrims, they show their love. It is interesting. Sometimes we hear about some statements. When you refer to Christianity, you hear about the serving the others. It is a common value among the religions, among the all humans, to serve the others. But you hear sometimes, and you can see sometimes, these are different. Please look at the Karbala march. You can see there the people are standing there to serve the others. It is not important what they have. They have what they try, and they have what they can offer the others, even by their goods, by drink, by water. It is no important what they have. Sometimes you see some young children, 4 or 5, standing there offering the people just one glass of water. You can say water is not important. No, it is important because it is all what he have. And they offering what they have, they give the drink, food, rest, and even sometimes they are standing there to help you to take it easily. I saw a clip. I think it was really effective. And let me be frank that after that I cried some because it was interesting. A guy standing there asking people to massage their foot because they are tired and they are going there by walking. But it is not important. I think it is can be understood. But when he began to take off the socks and take off the shoes, after that he kissed the feet of the pilgrims. And pilgrims feel ashamed of this. But he said no, because it is the feet of Imam Hussein's pilgrims. What does it mean? It means a miracle. Miracle of Imam Hussein is showing not just by one person, one event, 10 person, 1,000, no. More than 20 million people trying there to go by walking, and more than few millions trying there to show their love toward Imam Hussein. I think it is, let me put aside who they are loving. But this aspect of love is something that you cannot find it any other place in the world. This is so, I want to refer to this sentence of our leader. He said, this is the sign of belief and love. And you can see here love. And when you refer to the Daesh, you refer to the Takfiri, what you see? You see there any love toward the human being? No. Every person tried to kill the others, cut the head, beheaded the people. Why? So they show a wrong picture. In this picture, they try to kill the others. And here you can see the picture of serving the other, loving the others, loving one great moral values. And when you compare these two, I think it is clearly understood that which of them is right, which of them is real picture, and which of them is fake. And by comparing these two, you can find that when you refer to the Takfiri, how many Takfiri we have in the world? All around the world you can find just a few dozens. They are not more than this. They are really, really minority among the Muslims. But here you can have the picture of more than 20 millions. So which of them, the real belief of Muslims, I think you can see here. The message of love is the message of Arba'in. It is happened by Imam Hussein, began by Imam Hussein, and now will last, inshallah, to the last day of the world. And it is in narrating our narration as well that Prophet said there will be a love, a passion toward Imam Hussein, and it will last forever because Imam Hussein spent all he had. Sometimes you spend some money to help the others. Sometimes you try your best to help him by some job, some work. These are good. But when you spend all you had, what you have? Imam Hussein had his money, he spent for Allah. He had even his life. He gave it to war for the sake of Allah. Even his family, he had it. And it is what we can see here. Very interesting that Imam Hussein spent all what he had, so the people show such a great love and passion toward Imam Hussein. And you can see the message of love in Karbala. And I think it will be a good answer for Takfiri, Daesh, or any other, ISL, or any other name that you can call them during the time.
Let's go back to our guest in California, Mr. Alexander Azadegan. Our guest in Tehran, Mr. Mazlumi, believes that the Battle of Karbala and the stand of Imam Hussein is nothing short of a miracle. Now, we're focusing on being able to differentiate between authentic Islam and the fraudulent manufactured Islam, as you stated just minutes ago. Looking back at some statements and comments made by leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, he said that the passion and the belief and love that we're seeing in Karbala, that is the true teachings of the progeny and of the household of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes, the Supreme Leader basically touched upon the most sensitive part of this message. I fully concur with that. Just to add to what my wonderful colleague in Tehran just added, Mr. Mazlumi, this was an act of love. This was an act of sacrifice. We need to educate the people of the West about this act of sacrifice, because this act of sacrifice or martyrdom has been so perverted in the minds of the Western man and woman that they have no understanding of what it was all about. They have no understanding that this great Imam, this great wonderful grandson of the Holy Prophet, when he gave up his love, gave up his life, it was in essence an effort to save the true Islam. That is, you know, if you are in the West, it seems faded. You know, I have to be honest and blunt with you. I just came back from a three-month scholarly visit to Iran. And as I was going around the country and surveying fellow Iranians, I was so pleasantly surprised that Imam Hussein has such a dear place in the heart of Christian Iranians, because they relate to his message. Because from the Christian understanding, the way Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross, in a sense, this is the Christian understanding. Of course, the Islamic understanding is different. But from a Christian understanding, they can relate to Imam Hussein's history because he sacrificed his life and the life of the few followers that were around him for the sake of truth, for the sake of the true Islam. There is a concerted effort, I cannot emphasize this enough, in the West to create a false reality. There was a two-star general, British general, who lived about 100 years ago. I don't recall his name, but his thesis was, if you want to destroy an ideology, create a parallel ideology next to it and make sure this parallel ideology is the exact opposite of the true ideology, except for the fact that it resembles the name and it uses the same language, the same vocabulary, the same lingo. That is a way to destroy the true ideology through the false ideology. This couldn't be more relevant, because this is exactly more relevant today, because this is exactly what Imam Hussein was fighting during his time. When he was martyred, when he gave up his life in the plains of Karbala, it wasn't too many years after the passing of the Prophet himself. So even at that very early stage, there was a perversion of this faith, of this great religion. And Imam Hussein diagnosed it so well 1400 years ago and made this symbolic act of giving up, well, not just symbolic, literal act, by giving up his life. So his message has stayed alive and vibrant throughout history. I must add and emphasize here that this what we are commemorating today has nothing to do, with a Shia or Sunni conflict that some outsiders like to inflame. I know many Sunnis who have great reverence for Imam Hussein and even commemorate his passing. I need to emphasize this enough, because one of the strategies of the arrogant powers and the grossly misinformed and hegemonic politicians in the West is to drive a wedge in Islam by making sure, you know, people in Iraq, you know, identify as Shia or Sunni or Kurd. This is, as the Supreme Leader pointed out, this is a conspiracy. This is a concerted effort to divide Islam, to divide the Ummah, to divide the people, the Muslims of the world, and create confusion, create ignorance, as Mr. Mazlumi pointed out, create that jahl, feed that ignorance, in order to not only alienate Muslims, but in order to demonize Islam in the eyes of non-Muslims. And I hate to admit, to some extent, they have been successful in doing that. But thank goodness for alternative media like Press TV that's providing an alternative vision, an alternative narration of what's really happening. In other words, the truth, the people of the world are waking up. I can testify to you that people in the West, there has never been a time in the West where people have watched their mainstream media less and less, because they've realized the mainstream corporate media in the West is spewing nothing but lies and falsehoods and exaggerations and distortions. And so this is a chance for the true media, alternative media like Press TV, like RT, to merge and to present the reality as has been known to Muslims during the past, 1400 years. So this is nothing short of a spiritual cosmic battle. We just happen to be fighting it over the media. We happen to be fighting it, with the pen, with the might of the pen. And, and it's extremely effective that we do this correctly, because, the enemy, the other side, the liars, the falsifiers, the exaggerators, they are doing their best to pervert the true message of Islam and to make sure people believe that falsification. And so it's our responsibility to do exactly what Imam Hussein did, which is to distinguish between haq and batil, to distinguish between righteousness and truth versus counterfeit, batil. This is happening every day. This is happening even more now. We are responsible to, I don't want to use the word propagate, but to promote this truth even more now. And one last thing I want to add. Isn't it ironic that because of the savage acts of Al-Qaeda, of Daesh or ISIS or ISIL, whatever they're called, isn't it interesting that they themselves are fulfilling a purpose, a cosmic prophetic purpose, in a sense that because they are such fanatics, because they are such falsifiers, because of their act, people are finally waking up, people on the side of truth and justice. Well, they've always been awake, but the masses of the world are finally beginning to wake up to and be able to distinguish between these two. So had it not been for the savagery and terrorism and the falsification of Washington and London-supported groups such as Daesh, such as ISIS, in a sense, they gave us an opportunity to become even more enthusiastic to present the real message of Imam Hussein and true, peaceful, revolutionary Islam. And, it's ironic that I have to thank Daesh for that. I wouldn't want to thank him for anything, because they are so brutal, because they are such falsifiers, because they're such liars of the original message of Islam. But in a sense, they are fulfilling, a prophetic role, whether they know it or not.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Azadegan. Mr. Mazlumi, as we're seeing, the martyrdom of Imam Hussein is much alive in essence, but it's also alive symbolically as well. I know you're an expert on the issue. I'd like to benefit from your expertise. We're seeing a lot of processions and ceremonies taking place during Taswa and Ashura, and now during Arba'in, especially in Iran. We see the beating of the chest, the Sinezani. We see the Taziyas, the Passion Plays, the Nohas, the Husseiniyas. What is it? What do they mean? What is the significance of the symbolism to these processions and ceremonies being so alive and so fresh, more than 14 centuries on?
If nowadays we are not in Karbala, what we can do as a Muslim, as a Shia, we can say we lost this opportunity. No, we can have something for us. It is in our supplication is narrated. If you are not in Karbala, but you can pay visit to Imam Hussein, pilgrimage to Imam Hussein by saying sallallahu alayhi ya Abu Abdullah, sallallahu ala ruhika wa badanik. It means that we say peace be upon him. We talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on Imam Hussein, on his body, on his soul. It is not just the words and sentence. And what you mentioned, it is not just actions that we can see the people go, the people walk, the people. No, they want to show something. If we are not in Karbala, but we are in that battle in the side of Imam Hussein, we are there in that battle. This battle is here in Iran, in London, in United States, in any other specific world. You can have it. It is not just in some geographical place that we say that we are not in Karbala, so we cannot help, we cannot show. It is something simple. It's not this symbol is showing and conveying some meaning. These meanings want to say that we are in the same battle and we are at the side of Imam Hussein, not in the side of his enemy. And it is what you can see that in narrations, it is very clearly understood by the people. They heard that kullu arzin Karbala, kullu yawmin Ashura. Each place is Karbala. So you are in Iran, you are in United States, you are in Thailand or any other country, you are in Karbala. It means that that battle which happened there is nowadays here. So we need to show that in this battle where we are standing. We are standing in the side of Imam Hussein, in the side of truth, in the side of reality, or we are standing in opposite side. And it is what we show. Sometimes you make it by even conveying this message. I think we are now, unfortunately, not in the ceremony. We are here in a studio talking to the people. But why we do it? Because we try to explain and give a good, clear action and clear picture of what happens there. So I think everything that you mentioned, all of them, show us that we try to show our position in this battle, the battle of justice and injustice. Indeed. And we hope, inshallah, it happen all over there.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Javad Mazlumi, Iranian scholar, joining us here in our studios in Tehran. And also allow me to thank Professor of Strategic Global Management, Mr. Alexander Azadegan, who was speaking to us from California. And of course, many thanks to our correspondent, Altaf Ahmad, who was giving us a report on the ground from what's taking place in the holy Iraqi city of Karbala. We'll be focusing on the Arbaeen commemorations taking place in Iraq here on Press TV for the remainder of the day. But for now, I believe we're going to take a break and take a look at the news in brief. Stay with us, though.